are listening to Wrestling Observer Live with your hosts, Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi.
Are you ready? Are you ready?
Let's get it on!
Still got the energy to get it on? You're a wrestling fan, I know that you do. Mike Sempervivi here with you. I'd like to thank you all for joining me. Especially you. Yes, you. The dedicated wrestling fan who is still sitting in the Uber pickup line at MetLife Center waiting to be picked up and taken home to Manhattan at a price of $200. Your stick-to-itiveness is appreciated. Is it still raining? So that was a little bit of a downer on WrestleMania week, what? We won't worry about that. We'll leave that for Brian Alvarez to talk about on Wrestling Observer Radio, as he did last night with Dave Meltzer, the first 5 minutes of the show. some of the after effects of the show and seeing some of the tweets from people. Actually sent out a note saying, hey, are you still waiting? How much are you paying? Because I heard of some horror stories. I heard of somebody paying up to $250. And there was one $209 before the tip. Just to go to Midtown Manhattan, 20 miles away. It probably took 2 hours. $157 gave him a $20 tip. One guy said $175, ended up paying $77 for a lift. Got lucky after an hour waiting, calling a failed Uber. He considers himself lucky. Rough time leaving. The New Jersey Transit System is blaming WWE today, saying the primary factor contributing to the post-event delays was WWE's decision to extend the event to 12:30 a.m., which had significant operational impacts on the evening. New Jersey Transit was not informed of this decision until late last night, spokesman Jim Smith said. Federal regulations prohibit New Jersey Transit employees from working overtime to staff additional trains. So not only do they make late decisions on what's going to take place on Raw, they also do it to let New Jersey know that, hey, somebody's going to have to work some mandatory overtime. If you got any exploits in waiting for anything, let me know. Let me know your thoughts on WrestleMania G1 and the rest of the weekend as well. 1-800-878-PLAY. Get this thing started. We get back. Wrestling Observer Live. The Ramones. But for a second there, I always forget about this. But for a second, it was Ronda Rousey's music. Joan Jett. That they spent money for yesterday to do Bad Reputation. Imagine if the Ramones were in their prime. They probably would have did a pretty good job playing an ECW show at Hammerstein Ballroom or something like that. Would have been fantastic. Ronda Rousey's got a severely broken hand, as reported by Dave Meltzer last night, Wrestling Observer Radio with Brian Alvarez, for subscribers over at WrestlingObserver.com. She'll be going off the grid for a while. I believe it was written. Jeremy Botter, I believe it was, tweeted that out there. I don't know if that came from anybody else about her, quote, going off the grid. But she is out and went out with her shoulder up last night. Caused some controversy. Curious to know what you think about that. I'm not even going to worry about it. Haven't checked into it. Don't care. Doesn't matter. Because everybody's saying what they want to anyway. I don't know where the truth is. I don't know what the truth will be. I'll leave it for somebody else to try to sort out whether her shoulder was supposed to be down and she screwed it up, whether it was supposed to be down and just by happenstance it happened, whether it was never supposed to be down because they're building towards another match, whether who this person screwed up or that, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. What it does is it still leaves the door open, and the bottom line is, Becky Lynch won. In fact, be happy Brian's not here today, too, because last night on Observer Radio, he was, like, very upset and using, you know, who could argue against a submission finish? And he used Fedor as an example. I mean, I will, because, yeah, she may never come back. I get that, but this isn't a one-off celebrity. This is somebody that, like, really, really seemed to like pro wrestling. And seems like every once in a while they could use an outlet and probably use some money. It would probably be kind of perfect for them. Like, oh, I don't know, Brock Lesnar. So, I mean, more so than just your average celebrity like, you know, Colin Jost, I think Ronda, there's a good chance she might be back. And even if she's not, so what? You leave the door open for Charlotte or Becky to beat her with her move, with one of their moves, with one of their submission moves. So I don't think that was necessary last night. So I can see that coming up as a talking point for Brian. Hopefully not anymore after last night, but we'll see. Doesn't matter. Becky Lynch just came out on top. At the end of a seven and a half hour show, which went way, way too long. And really, it was still an all-time feel-good show with most of what took place on there. Kofi Kingston, and I will say this as well. I think how everything turned out here at the end, and we can, you know, hindsight being 2020, I know there's still a lot of people that would have wanted this to be a singles match. I will say the way that the Kofi thing came on with Daniel Bryan, you may have people that would have said, you know, if it comes down to a singles match, it's either Ronda or Becky and Becky's continued ascension, or Kofi and Daniel Bryan and Kofi's, you know, ascension, or where this story is at right now with him and where it got to. There would be people that really would have argued stronger for Kofi to be the main event with Daniel Bryan. I think you would have maybe heard a little more of that if it happened to be a singles match. I don't know, though. Doesn't really matter. End of the day, everybody comes out looking good. Both of them won, and they got Seth Rollins. You know, a lot of people complain about Seth Rollins not being as over as he was when he came back, and yeah, that's true. That's what happens with everybody. But I think people kind of decry his popularity a little bit too much. When you seemingly these reports out of arena shows and house shows you go to, Seth Rollins still amazingly over. Seth Rollins touches to a younger fan base, which a lot of people, you know, they don't have enough of those fans, seemingly, when you look at the demographics of things. He's one of those guys that reaches out and touches them. And it was going to be interesting to see, knowing that the three-way was going to be the main event, knowing you had so much emotional stuff on there, like Kurt Angle's retirement, like the Batista Triple H thing with two legends. It was, okay, well, where is this thing going to fit, and how is it going to fit? And to open the show with it, how they opened the show with it, I thought it was great how they did that. So really, up and down WrestleMania, a win really up and down across the board, except for the length. And it did hurt some matches. It hurt Bobby Lashley and Finn Balor, which probably would have been really fun to go longer. I think it hurt Triple H and Batista because these are two old guys, as Dom and I were talking at the break. You know, there was a little bit of laying around there with those two guys. It was more about the gimmicks and things like that. And, you know, that on a shorter show, you know, being more impactful instead of being so late in the show probably would have helped that one out a lot more. So you can pick nits at this thing and everything. But overall, WWE held up its end of the deal, and most of the people involved did as well. Want to know your thoughts on it? 1-800-878-PLAY. You can get a hold of me on Twitter as well. Go to the phones now. BJ in Arizona. BJ, how are you?
Good, Mike. How you been doing this?
I won't complain. I actually got my voice back after the G1 show on Saturday night, so I'm happy with that. But are you happy with the way everything turned out with WrestleMania?
I'm kind of mixed. First off, I did want to mention that the Johnny Gargano-Adam Cole match, I think that was the best WWE match of all time. And being a huge Johnny Gargano fan, to finally see him win the big one, that was a fantastic match. So I think going into WrestleMania, it was hard to like kind of top anything like that.
That's, you know, and that's, talked about it on Friday, how TakeOver is not only like, it's always the best built-to show, but it's like you can kind of predict that it's like it's going to be one of the shows of the year. And it's like, recently, it's like they keep topping themselves on how you're going to have the best show of all time. And that, you wouldn't be in the, I think Dave may have called it the best, he'd certainly call it the best NXT match he's ever seen. But yeah, I mean, I unfortunately still haven't had a chance to see it yet in its entirety. Just to actually sit down and dedicate to it. I've had it out in the background and stuff like that. But I mean, the little parts I've seen looks awesome. And the stories coming out of it, how they were able to change that crowd, because Adam Cole is just so popular. Because he's been around for so long, and obviously Johnny Gargano is too, but Adam Cole has got, you know, for being a heel, he's just as over as any babyface out there. And for him to be cheered as much as he was coming out, and for outside run-in interference in this day and age to not be groaned at and to work properly, I mean, they did wonders on that show and up and down it, including, you know, Walter and Pete Dunne, which I finally got a chance to see. And I understand now why that one is the wrestling fans' match of the night for NXT. Obviously, you know, Cole and Gargano was a little bit otherworldly, but, you know, for those who really love pro wrestling, Walter and Dunne seems to be like it really is was one of their matches of the weekend, too. What did you think about that?
Yeah, that was a great match. I like both guys, so except for the women's match was kind of just okay, but everything else on that show was great. In terms of WrestleMania, I thought there were some great moments, too. I just think that the length really hurt the show. Like, by the time you're at that end, you're just so tired. Like, the Kofi match was fantastic. I thought that was the best match on the show. The Seth Rollins thing, I was happy he won. I felt a little robbed that we didn't get a great match because it was kind of quick. You know, they just kind of had him get beat up, and then he beat him real quick. And then the Becky thing was awesome. You know, I love Becky. It's just to have, like, the biggest build of the year go to that and then just to have it be, like, a roll-up. I mean, I'm glad that they did it because they can go back to it. It's just kind of like I almost felt underwhelmed by it, but that may have been also because I was so tired going into the match. I just, you know, it was such a long night at that point.
BJ, I really want to thank you very much for the call. Yeah, if they're going to do a 7.5-hour show, and I'm not even saying I'm against that because, again, I mean, I know the matches get shortchanged. I would prefer it to be shorter. But I understand what they're doing. I get that. But why not go ahead then, instead of starting at 5 and ending at 12:30 in the morning, why not start at 2, you know, and end at maybe not 2, but why not start at 3 and then end at 10:30 or still go off the air by 11, you know, and have that 8-hour block there? You know, so what if you're running it on the West Coast and people are going to be there at 7 or whatever it would be? Look, if you want to see that cruiserweight match or that battle royal on the pre-show, you're going to do it. If not, you're not. It's WrestleMania. So maybe something to look at in the future. Be back, Wrestling Observer Live. I had dreams and now they all come true.
You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live with Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
WrestleMania, like your gateway into summer. Break out of the spring. It's only going to get better from here. The Feel Me Flow. It's one of those summer songs. Like 93 Till Infinity and obviously Summertime. The summer feeling songs. Apparently people still waiting at MetLife Stadium. It may be there till summer. Mark Ludzwiak, if I got that right on Twitter. Hey, guys, just a heads up. Just saw AJ Styles at the airport, and he was moving super slow. That's a lot of U's. With him leaving town, guessing this means no SmackDown and potential injury. Well, if you go to the WrestlingObserver.com website, you will be able to see an update on several things. Unfortunately, not that one on AJ Styles quite yet. But the day is still young, so we may be able to let you know some information on that. Certainly, by the time Wrestling Observer Radio goes up tonight after Raw with Dave and Brian, so I will pass this along to both of them to get some information on. But if you go to the website right now, we do have some updates on what's been going on, because as I mentioned at the top of the show, Ronda Rousey suffered a broken right hand throwing punches in last night's WrestleMania main event match. And if you saw it, and most of you I'm sure did, very, very physical. So Rousey will be out for a while now, no matter what. No matter what you thought of that finish, she is going to be out because she's got to tend to that hand. What we also know is Brock Lesnar has already flown home and won't be on tonight's show. There is no word about his future or next match, but he is currently not advertised for anything, apparently not even the European tour. However, he is being linked to a proposed August 17th UFC championship match against Daniel Cormier for the UFC. They will be on Fox in the fall for SmackDown. They know they need something big. I am not saying that there's any tie in there. it would be difficult for me to believe at some point down the line we don't start seeing a tie in there. But what is for sure, if that's the case, and we have seen this try to play out many times and never go anywhere, but if that's the case, we will not be seeing Brock Lesnar again for quite a while either. If that's the case with both Rousey and Lesnar gone, it would seem then as well, unless you've got something new planned, Paul Heyman would be out the door as well too, at least temporarily. But that's all speculation on my part. We could see what happens tonight on Raw, which is always usually a very, very notable show, maybe even more so because of the superstar shakeup that's been coming up. Now, about Lesnar last night with Seth Rollins, Dave reports, the decision to make that first on the main show was not made until 5:30 p.m., after the first match on the show had already taken place. Interesting to see what may shake out there. That sounds like it's going to be a story Dave's going to have to keep peeking at and may come up in the Observer newsletter this week. We'll have to see what happens, but he may have more information on that on Observer Radio tonight as well, too. And we can also report that Hiroshi Tanahashi was legitimately injured in his match against Zack Sabre Jr. at the Garden on Saturday night. He's been taken off the schedule. Also off the schedule, and this is not mentioned in the Wrestling Observer story, but has been mentioned by New Japan, Togi Makabe is also off the Wrestling Dontaku shows, lineup of shows that'll be coming up as well, too. So we'll have to kind of check out their status and see what goes on with them. But yeah, as of right now, Tanahashi out for at least the short term as he recovers. Still want to get your thoughts on everything that took place this weekend. We got a bunch of people on the line, so we will go to them right now. Carlos in Dallas. Carlos, how are you today?
Hey, Mike, thanks for taking my call. I'm doing pretty well. How about yourself?
I'm doing great, my man. What's on your mind?
Hey, so WrestleMania yesterday, I actually thought it was one of the better WrestleManias of the recent network era. I thought it had a hot start. Seth Rollins winning the Universal Championship, spinning it around his head. I thought that was a pretty nice callback to when he was spinning the title belt over his head at WrestleMania 31 4 years ago. The one thing that I want to harp on, which I'm sure everyone's going to harp on, and everyone has harped on, is just the length of the show. After that fantastic Kofi Kingston-Daniel Bryan match that took place halfway through the show, I knew at that very moment that the show had peaked, and I was right. Nothing came close to the quality of that match. Fantastic match. I was so happy for Kofi winning, but it's such a shame that the rest of the card just could not follow that, and it seems to be something that's nothing new, because that seems to be prevalent with all these previous WrestleManias where, you know, they peak halfway through the show and then the crowd just dies just because of the length of the show and nothing can follow it up. But yeah, that's all I had to say on that. Thanks for taking my call, Mike.
Absolutely. I really appreciate it. And, you know, kind of was talking about it during the break, you know, the idea of if you really want to do a show this length, start it earlier. I mean, if you want to go to a festival style, I mean, we'll have to see what also. I'm very interested in seeing what the reaction is for the New Japan shows. And again, that's not here. But as three-day weekends and festivals and things like that, you know, it's oftentimes events are more than one day. Even though wrestling traditionally has not been, I'm interested to see how New Japan does things and how WWE looks at how New Japan does Wrestle Kingdom January 4th, 2020, when they do 2 days of shows. Because with WrestleMania, I mean, if you're going to run a show 7.5 hours, move it back. You know, why not just move it back a little bit of time? It would make more sense to me. I don't know.
Why? Who cares? It's WrestleMania.
It is. Thank you, Producer Dom. And thank you, Fearless Leader Brian Alvarez. Who cares? It doesn't matter. It's WrestleMania. It's mattered to Brian now, didn't it? If you would have heard Wrestling Observer Radio last night, oh, it definitely mattered to him. And really, like I said, to a couple of matches on the show, it didn't matter. And I'm not trying to take anybody's WrestleMania payout of their pocket or anything like that. But, you know, and it doesn't even have to be as short as an NXT show. I mean, look, this is their big masturbatory show of the year. It's like the Super Bowl or the Masters or the NCAA tournament weekend or anything where it's just corporate sponsors and all the glad handing and all that big thing. It's just them just loving themselves and doing it to the fullest. And I want everybody to be a part of that. But there may be a better way to do it, and it's still a very effective way to do it if you kind of cut a little bit out and just tighten it up there a little bit. The NXT shows are the best example of that, but I know there's room to maneuver. I can trust in WWE that much. They could change it if they wanted to, and maybe after all this, when it comes to the transit and all that, we may see that where no matter where they are, if doors are opening, you know, I understand if you're on the West Coast and WrestleMania is there that you don't, you know, your pancakes and pile drivers breakfast is going to be screwed up, but I heard this year they had no pancakes at Pancakes and Pile Drivers, so the hell with it anyway. So if you have to open up the doors and it's 10 o'clock on the West Coast or 11 o'clock, you want to start the show, so it begins at 2 o'clock on the East Coast, I mean, that's not the worst idea in the world. You can still run an 8-hour show, have it end at 10 o'clock. People, you know, kids can go to bed on time. You know, people can still have a little life afterwards, and you still got your mega long show, but shortening it, that might be for the best, although we'll have to see what they do. I'm going to go back to the phones right now. Adam in Bowling Green. Adam, how are you?
Hey, Mike, it's a long weekend, huh?
It was a long weekend, but it was a fruitful weekend. Now, did you partake in this weekend? Did you go up to New York, or did you stay at home but buy a ton of shows? How did you treat this weekend?
I stayed at home. I've got to work this week, but luckily I've got the WWE app and pretty much everything I need. I did miss the G1. I know I need to go back and look at that. I did see some highlights, but I know I need to see some of those matches in its entirety. Although I am glad I saw a takeover. I'll just get this out of the way. Walter and Dunn, I think, stole the weekend for me. It's just two styles that I'm not really used to seeing. And then, of course, the crowd had a lot to do with it. And then Walter just continuing his crusade of, you know, slapping people and taking names. It was something to behold, something I'm not really used to as mostly a WWE fan. And it's probably my favorite match. It's probably going to be my match of the year, honestly.
Well, that's it. There was a different feel to that match as far as big-time NXT matches go. And it's not going to be everybody's cup of tea, and that's proven by the main event, because when you can have a zillion falls, a zillion super kicks, you know, and when it works, you know, like Gargano and Cole and, like, you know, most top-tier talent out there, no matter where they work, I mean, that uber-fast style and that type of, you know, zillion false finishes and things like that, when it works spectacularly, you know, people absolutely love it. But then, you know, there's still room for other things as well, too, and I think Dunn and Walter was this... It was the best example of that too, and it was a good, again, it's a good grounding point. There need to be things like that where, you know, there's a zillion moves and all that sort of stuff, but there's still room for the type of performance that Walter puts on and Pete Dunne put on, and that was a great example of it.
Indeed it was. And Gargano and Cole, that was a great match. For me, it was a little bit overbooked. But that's just me. Some people say it might not be booked, you know, it wouldn't book.
No, but that's the complaint, though. Like, that's a complaint of a lot of NXT shows, too. And again, it's whether you like it or not. It's whether it works or not is a different story. But, yeah, I don't think there's any harm in saying that that's the case, because I think they definitely are overbooked.
Yeah, and you're right in that it worked. But for me, Walter and Dunn was the tipping point. Now, I did want to get this in real quick before Brian comes back and ultimately the only thing that he talked about. I wanted to have a brief discussion about Kurt Angle and Baron Corbin.
Well, how about this? I hear that, but I also hear the music. So hold tight right now, and we'll talk about this after the break, because as everybody knows, Baron Corbin pins Kurt Angle clean, sending him into retirement. People didn't like that too much. See if you did or not. Wrestling Observer Live. I gotta get it. Through the miracles of editing, this will be a short break in the time I stop talking to Adam until the time I bring back Adam from Bowling Green to talk about his thoughts about Kurt Angle and Baron Corbin last night. What did you think?
Thank goodness for modern technology. So what I was thinking, like what you were saying a minute ago with, you know, not every match is going to be everybody's cup of tea. I mean, if you ask the general fan, they're going to think this match was a cup of sewage. But I have to, for the most part, I have to disagree. If you look at this match at face value, it's Kurt Angle's last match, but Kurt Angle is, well, let's face it, he's kind of battered and bruised, and he has trouble turning his head at the age that he's at.
Facts.
From what I can see, this match was a vehicle to get Baron Corbin over. on as Kurt Angle leaves the company. And I think for what it was and for what it was trying to do, I think it was a good match. And I know that not everybody is going to like that analysis, but I for whatever reason, like the build admittedly was weak. It's not the match that hardly anybody wanted. But for what they were trying to do, and we'll see if it pays off in the future, but just for as it stands for what they were trying to do, I think it was all right.
You know what, Adam? I want to thank you very much for the call. And at this point for me too, yeah, it's water under the bridge. And as far as I'm concerned, Kurt Angle's last matches, because as a lot of people know, I'm an amateur wrestling fan, so I'm going to remember the matches with Shelton Benjamin and Kurt and Chad Gable as his really kind of his swan songs in WWE. I'm not going to remember the deal in, you know, the with McIntyre, or remember this deal here really with Baron Corbin. But now that it's happened, I don't want to see Baron Corbin in the top title mix. I don't want to see him constantly in the mix. Him remixed into some sort of more of a bodyguard. Look, he's a big guy. He's athletic. He's good on the mic. But I need to hear him a little less on the mic. I need to see him focused on a little bit less on that show. And I don't think we're going to get that. But I think using him as a gun, using him, look, more like a Bad Luck Fale, more like a Big Boss Man, more in that type of position where we don't have to have a focus on him, it's going to help him out immensely. I think the fans want that, obviously, because he's met with a lot of it's really, it feels like go-away heat sometimes. I know he's got his fans, of course, the text in and the call in here and everything like that, but I really think you'd be helping everybody out, especially him, if you went in that direction with him, because I think he'd be accepted more, and I think he is a guy with a lot of value, you know, a lot more value than what he's shown right now, which I just don't think has been utilized well and certainly hasn't been received that well. But I want to stay with the calls right now. We'll go to Kelly in Indiana. Kelly, how are you?
Pretty good. How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing all right, my man. What'd you think of the weekend?
So I'm 100% in agreement with you. I don't have an issue with the length of the show. I think the start time obviously should have happened sooner. For me, it's like, you know, you go to the grocery, you buy $200 worth of groceries, and they give you $200 extra worth of groceries. You're not going to complain. So it's WrestleMania. It's one day a year. It's the biggest event for wrestling. And it's just like, let's get all that we can in that one day. It's almost like a marathon. And for me, I know a lot of people don't enjoy that, but I do. My biggest gripe for the weekend, and I've called this show 100 times this year to say the whole triple threat thing was a convoluted mess into the lead up. And last night, when we should have got a decent definitive closure to it, it was just more of a convoluted mess. Was the arm or the shoulder supposed to be down? Supposed to be like, we should have gotten an answer after everything we've been through. I think that's why the Kofi thing was so amazing, because it wasn't a mess. It was what, a month ago, maybe a month and a half tops, when this whole idea of Kofi becoming the champion happened, and now everybody loves it. But then this build up for 6 months with Becky, and now it's like, oh, the payoff was, it was the outcome we wanted, but we didn't really care. And I'm not going to sit there and contribute that entirely to the length of the show.
I'm not even playing devil's advocate with this, but I mean, let's be honest here. In this one, I guess, really over anything, and there's 2 points here that I'll get your thoughts on, or anybody else's too. But one, does it really matter as long as Becky came out of that thing, you know, with those belts high in the air? Will, as time goes on, anyone care or really remember, or will they remember that quest and her coming out of it that way? And two, and this is a little bit, this you have to hold an asterisk on, but let's just say that Ronda, look, it was a pure accident that shoulder was up, a pure accident, as some people are saying, okay? As it probably and possibly was, I don't know. But if that's the case, she would have pinned Ronda Rousey clean in the middle of the ring. If that would have been the case, I mean, wouldn't she be okay with that? I mean, in theory, that's what happened anyway, whether the shoulder was up or not. We'll have to see if they follow up on that. But in this moment, she pinned Ronda Rousey clean and held both belts up. Does it really matter for the future?
I guess in my opinion, the way that you asked that question is how they answered.
It was very leading, wasn't it?
In the future, yes, and how they answer it. It obviously, I think we waited so long to get an answer, and then it's like, hey, you're gonna find out, and it's like that for 6 months. She's taken away, she's suspended, she's put in, she's suspended, and like finally we get to the night, we wait 7 hours of a show to finally get there, and then it's like, oh, well, she won, but it wasn't very definitive, and we don't know if it was supposed to happen. I guess in that moment, and for a lot of people, we were like, this is what we're waiting for. It's the payoff. Even in the UFC, we don't wait 7 months for a fight. We wait at tops 3 months, and we get the payoff. And generally, we get a pretty definitive answer. Here, we're like, we waited double that, and we were pulled in every direction 19 different times, and then the payoff was, well, she kind of won, but she kind of didn't definitively win. So it's like, I guess, you know, what happens in the future for me affects what happened last night. Again, I had the feeling she was going to win. I think a lot of people did. But, you know, another thing for last night for me was, I know a lot of people are going to hate this, I thought Brock should have won. And the only reason I say that is because that would have set up the doubt for Kofi. It would have set up doubt for Becky, and it wasn't. I just felt like everything they did for Kofi and Becky was like, hey, she's going to win, he's going to win, you don't even need to watch.
Yeah, they were telling you it was a feel-good show, weren't they?
Yeah, and that for me killed a little bit of the momentum as well. It was like, at this point, I don't even need to watch. If Seth wins, I can almost guarantee Kofi and Becky are going to win. And so I thought it would be nice to even start the show off with a little bit of heat, and it was could have been a little bit of troll because of the way with all the heat they've been booking, this could have been just a little bit more of a jab to be like, yep, here's some more heat for you guys. And then all of a sudden they turn it around with an amazing win by Becky and Kofi, and you're like, wow. Even Roman could have lost, and I would have been happy. And then like, okay, maybe the good guys aren't going to sweep it tonight, but they did. So that's my take on the weekend. I wasn't upset with it.
I appreciate your call very much. I really do. And, you know, well, I guess one could say that the Angle thing may have been a trip up, too, with Angle, because I think a lot of people would have predicted they were going to go out with Angle getting his revenge on Corbin, although he went out and did the job to Baron Corbin, which, you know, as a caller or a texter last week said, you know, shouldn't they just go ahead and do that the old pro wrestling way? And I of course, poo-pooed that and wiped that away. No, well, let's have the good feel-good moment. A whole day of feel-good moments, but he ended up being right, and that's the direction that they took. And hey, that's fine. No problem there. As far as the main event goes, Kelly, you're probably right. You know, I'm still maybe too high on the drug of the weekend or just kind of, you know, blowing it off. Maybe my own who cares, it's WrestleMania moment as Dom goes and finds that clip again.
Why? You know, who cares? It's WrestleMania.
So who cares that Becky, you know, didn't really get the definitive win because of Ronda's shoulder being up or didn't get to tap her out with the armbar? A lot of you do, and I can understand why. I really can. So, you know, it didn't bother me as much. The three-way never bothered me as much, but I could see where, especially if it was planned to be this way with Ronda's shoulder actually being up, where they want to throw some, you know, some salt in your eyes and create some doubt so they may be able to come back with something later on. You know, even though it may make wrestling sense, I can see why on a night where I certainly had been talking about a night of closure of happy moments that some people believe that they didn't get that last night with the three-way. But hopefully, my thing at this point now, though, with Kofi Kingston, with Becky Lynch, especially with Kofi, you know, I lose a lot of faith in WWE oftentimes after WrestleMania. We do have the superstar shakeup. We have some things going on. You know, we could have Kofi stripped of the New Day. You know, there's a lot of different ways that they can go and interesting things they can do, but I just hope they stay interesting because they often fall into a malaise after WrestleMania and it is not fun. And they, you know, we try to forget about things like Kane and Daniel Bryan and pallets being stacked on each other and Kane stalking Brie and some of these other storylines and things that are done after the feel good moments, after the Mysterio moments when he's just putting on a back brace and slammed into a post by Big Show or beaten up by Mark Henry and made to look like a fool. Now that you've ascended to the mountaintop, you know, are they going to kick them off and roll them down the hill in a comedic style quickly? Or will they actually give them something to work with and something with some teeth? And I really hope they do that for both of them and for a lot of people on that roster. Hopefully they can keep the good faith going, although it's been tough at times. But spring is eternal now, isn't it? So hopefully everything will work out according to plan. Go back to the phone lines right now. John in Arkansas. John, how are you?
I am great. I kind of echo the sentiment.
Get up on that phone.
Can you hear me?
Now I can. Go ahead.
Okay, I echo the sentiments of most of the
folks on the length and time of the show. I echo the sentiments of the gentleman before me about the Brock thing. I think the thing that hurt the women's deal is just there wasn't a definitive enough, you know, good-looking finish. I think part of the problem was the roll-up thing of what they went to do. It was just bad. They should have gone for some sort of other thing as that finish for the match. I mean, if that was what they wanted to do, because it didn't do Becky any favors. As far as the standouts and of the weekend, I think the New Japan side of the ledger of the G1 show just blew everybody away. Great stuff. Loved the finish of that with Okada. Loved me some Minoru Suzuki, and I felt terrible for Tanahashi in the way that Zack Sabre Jr. just twisted and tied him up in knots that sailors would have been proud of. Good Lord.
Well, John, let me, John, I want to thank you very much for the call. I actually got to keep it moving here because I want to get Ed on before we run out of time here. But I'll say this: it's something. And Adam and I, Adam Summers and I, did a big audio nightmare, and we talked about it's just especially live. Will Ospreay is one of those guys. There's a couple, but Zack Sabre Jr. It's just he is so fun to me, and I don't think people give him his due. And as far as being, you know, it's going to be, as Fumi Saito said, the 2020s. He feels as though it's going to be Will Ospreay's time in New Japan all throughout the decade coming up here. He's going to be dominant, and I think, you know, Zack Sabre Jr., especially with his style, is going to be a generational rival, and that feud and that, you know, is going to be pretty robust as time goes on, I'm pretty sure, and that's pretty awesome. Before we get out of here, I want to go to Ed in Cleveland. Ed, how are you?
Very, very tired. Got home yesterday from Mania weekend, and, yeah, I went to 7 shows, including Black Label, seeing Brian and Orange Cassidy, which was fun. AIW stole the weekend without a doubt. Yeah, just a lot of fun. Tons of fun. Liked Mania.
A couple people said that about AIW. So what was the big thing on there?
Dom Guarini versus Josh Bishop in a blood feud. Dom's Josh's trainer, and Josh doesn't show up to practice much, so they built a whole feud out of that, and it ended in a submitter surrender match. And it was just with Josh lighting Dom on fire, or attempting to light Dom on fire, and Dom just saying quit before he was able to. Very fun.
Damn. Ed, thank you very much for the call. Dominic Greeny, from all accounts, had a really good weekend himself. You know, some stars come out of these types of weekends, and Greeny certainly rose this past weekend. Now we're really going to put a bow on this when we get back from break. Wrestling's over live.
You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live with Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
Hey, remember when earlier on I said that Dave would probably have some information on AJ Styles coming up? Well, Dave responded to that tweet. That much is confirmed. I haven't heard more or an officially injury report, but I've just been handed a note via text that we will have more information up on the site very, very soon. WrestlingObserver.com, where you want to be anyway for all the news and information in professional wrestling and mixed martial arts, especially this weekend too. I mean, there is just a mountain of stuff that is up right now. First-hand accounts from tons of shows that were up there. Like I said, the Adam and Mike Big Audio Nightmare, where we ramble on just, you know, incessantly about things, including Adam's thoughts on Pro Wrestling Revolver, NXT, and Rev Pro, those shows that he went to. Vinny is on shows with Brian talking about Bloodsport and some of the different shows that they got in and out of. The Pacific Rim show is up there. In fact, there's two of them up there with a Stardom recap, which Fumi and Jim Valley were the hosts of. They did play-by-play and color for that show, as well as going to WrestleMania, as well as going to the G1 Supercard. On top of that, you got shows with Lance Storm and Paul Lazenby. Did an awesome figure four daily together. Dragon King Dark is up there. The Oddities of Alabama. If you're looking for a little bit of a break from wrestling, you need to ground yourself. As I talked about earlier on, that's a great way to do it with Carl Stern show that he's got there. So you know what we're all about right here. Every single day, Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern time, noon Pacific, 7 GMT. Sundays at 6 Eastern, 10 GMT. Ladies and gentlemen, WrestleMania week continues for two more days. We will talk to you again after a while.
Presents the World Wrestling Federation, brought to you by Getty. The proof is at the pump. By manufacturers Hanover Trust, where our facts make your money worth more. By TWA, offering wide-body service non-stop to Los Angeles and San Francisco every day. By Mitsubishi Motors, Mitsubishi takes you where you've never been before. By Mobil Detergent Gasoline, power for your everyday driving needs. By Goldome, New York State's largest savings bank, with higher interest, new services, and better ways to save. From the Burns Meadowlands Arena, you're watching the World Wrestling Federation. Hi, wrestling fans. Gorilla Monsoon here at ringside with my friend and associate for many years, Red Bastine. And what an exciting night of professional wrestling we have on tap for you. So stay right with us and don't disappear. We'll be right back with more exciting wrestling in just a moment.